It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Nick Bailing, and Andy is rumored to be joining us at some point, but he is doing what Andy does, which is wander around trying to figure out if Batman vs. Superman is going to be profitable. So he will report back as to whether or not that's going to happen. As always, lots of stuff to talk about this week, not the least of which is MMA prospect and soon-to-be legend Dada 5000 entering the Bellator Octagon, and we will talk all about that next. It's Way of the Warrior.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with currently Nick Bailing. Andy will be here at some point, I'm sure. But I know that you and your brother are way more excited than I am about Friday night, where I'm way more excited about Cowboy versus Cowboy. But you guys want the freak show that is Bellator to have a fantastic Friday night. And if you don't really know what we're talking about, you get Ken Shamrock and Hoist Gracie 3, because that needed a trilogy once both of them are in their 60s. So you will get that. And then, like I said, in the open, you will get Kimbo Slice and Dada 5000, who thank you for turning me on, Nick, to the workout video where I got to see whatever that was from Dada 5000, who now says that that was an act. An act for what? Does Kimbo think that? If you're a professional MMA fighter, I don't know that you ever enter into a contest assuming your opponent has no idea how to strike. Like, that's not a strategy. My strategy is he doesn't know what he's doing.
It's one of those things where after a while, when you have watched enough people hit pads, you can kind of get an idea. And if you grew up in the amateur world of MMA and martial arts, there are people in the back hitting pads like that, and you just start to say, all right, well, let's see how this one turns out. And guess what? They never are putting on a fake act in behind the scenes. It always is exactly what it looks like.
And it was the first time, and I know you guys both said this, Andy now in the room, he is, I don't know if he's figured, we thought you were figuring out whether or not Batman versus Superman was going to be profitable. That's why you're late. So, you guys were both talking about how it was the first time any of us could remember that seemingly in the open workouts, a coach was teaching combinations to the fighter in front of press.
Well, that's what you want to do on the week of getting a guy ready, is you want to show him a bunch of new things that are, like a 1-2. That's a new punch combo
Turn over your punches, sit down in your punches. That's what you need to learn that the night before you fight. So you will get that tomorrow night, which is Friday night. There's a Justin Wren is fighting. There's a couple other fights on this card. Like I said in the intro, Andy, I know you guys are way more excited than I am. I honestly don't think Kimbo Slice is, and I know this is the purpose, I don't think he's going to have any problem with Dada 5000. Dada 5000 will probably go the way, unless he does something remarkable, but based on the open workouts, I find that hard to believe. We'll go the way of Brett Rogers, where you'll never hear from him again, and he'll be fighting at M1 Global cards in some weird part of Russia. But the main event is Ken Shamrock and Hoist Gracie, and I'm interested, Andy, in your thoughts on A, how terrible is that going to be, and B, what's going to happen at the end of it?
Well, I would say that I'm not as excited for this fight as I am the previous one, so I'm sorry that I missed the beginning excitement that
you
guys led.
Feel free to lead in with whatever you think on the Dada 5000 Kimbo. He's future Hall of Famer, Dada 5000.
I caught the end of it. I think you guys covered it pretty well before I got in here. But I'm going with Gracie submitting him. That's my guess, and it will probably be pretty...
Will it be the same submission he got him in the first time?
That'd be pretty awesome.
Well, if Ken Shamrock's last fight versus Kimbo actually has shown anything, is that his submission skills aren't exactly the best, because he had Kimbo in a full rear naked choke and just let it go because
for the better part of
it.
Like 4 minutes.
Yeah. And so if the game goes there, I think that is pretty definitive of what's going to happen.
It's so hard because I just don't as somebody who, you know, trained for a minute in a Hoist Gracie school, and obviously being respective of the history of what he and his family have done, these are very difficult nights for me to even deal with, because I just don't need to see him, because all I'm picturing in my head is that Matt Hughes fight, and that you don't want to see a guy like that fight again. On the other hand, I also don't want to see Ken Shamrock fight again. And you could probably talk me into never seeing Frank Shamrock fight again, but I can tell you unequivocally that Ken doesn't need to do this. And he is 100% right in that the fact he's been running around this week talking about legends being a segment of MMA, being a thing. And I totally think that's a thing, and an awesome thing that Bellator could make hay with if they created a Legends division, and that's where Tito goes, and that's where Lieben goes when he shows up, and Hoist is in there, and Ken is in there for as long as that happened. However, I don't know how interesting this fight's going to be at all, just based purely on that Kimbo fight, because it was terrible.
Do you know, actually, when you go to the Bellator site, do you know what weight class they're even fighting at? Because, like, they're, you know, 30 pounds different, according to Bellator. So are they fighting at, like, open weight, 185, 205?
Well, it's Texas, so they certainly could fight in whatever they feel like. Because, they have him as 176 versus 204. And maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't know how they...
I see this going the way of like a Legends weight class where they're like, you want to? Sure. And that's the way that I could see this happening and going with guys like him. I mean, Tito being, he's saying he's going for the championship soon, but I mean, people still want to watch which one is it? The Senior League for Golf?
Yes. The Masters?
The Masters is the good one.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Right. Yeah, I don't watch golf. So
yeah,
whatever.
So people do care about those still, and they'll watch them as long as you can, you know, clank one down the fairway. So if you can still throw a cross and someone's there to receive it, people are going to be there to watch it. Freak show? Yes. Are you trading brain cells for entertainment? Sure. Should that not happen to somebody that's aged the way that they are? Possibly. But the point of it being that, Ken Shamrock saying they earn the right to fight. You know, they've been doing it for so long, they earn the right to do it. And it's morally, maybe it's a little bit gray area, but entertainment, I can't wait to see what happens in this. It's like if I get to watch, like, I don't know, Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior again, and they get to go do it one more time. It's childhood
stuff. That one's going to be really difficult because one of them is a ghost. And the other one is a racist from Florida. So that's going to be really hard to put together. But to put some perspective on this, so you've gotten to see Ken Shamrock fight against Kimbo Slice in the terrible fight in 2015. Your boy, Hoist Gracie, last fought Sakuraba in 2007, where he tested positive for anabolic steroids. And the year prior is when he got annihilated by Matt Hughes. So, yes. Did they earn the right to fight? Yeah. Technically, you can do whatever you want to, but there's a 30-pound difference, and I just don't know. I think you've got to be careful when you talk about a Legends division that it doesn't become a freak show, right? And it's really difficult. I think if you were to put, we'll even use Tito. If you were going to put Tito in that title fight where he got annihilated. And that was the main event, and this was the co-main event. I think you add some credence to the co-main event. The fact that your co-main event in this current iteration are two guys who were made famous by fighting on YouTube, I think you automatically turn it into the circus that you don't want it to be. And you got to be really careful when you're starting a Legends division that it doesn't become that, where it's not Rich Franklin fights a bear, right? Like, that's not, you don't want that to be what's on Spike TV. I mean, I know you want it to be on Spike TV, but when you're creating a Legends division, I think you want to have some sort of, to use your golf analogy, these are guys who are actually still competing and trying to beat one another using their skill set, right? And golf and fighting are not the same thing. You still want to use the skill set. You don't want it to be this, you have a rear naked choke for 4.5 minutes and you can't finish it, and then you get pounded out by Kimbo Slice.
Well, and if they really are going to try to legitimize this Legends idea. What they should do is they should maybe have some sort of some rules around it. Like, it's people are aware that it's going to be a shorter stoppage. You know, the weight classes aren't going to be as mattered as much as if these two people would like to fight. But I would really like to see them go in the way of, you know, maybe in the amateur MMA scene where it's like, if you take one or two that's unresponsive, like, we're calling the fight. And that's just fighter safety. You don't want to watch someone take a beating like JDS did a few years ago in, you know, plus 55 age person.
Right.
Right.
So just to make sure that I didn't miss something in the news, this Legends division is something that we're making up right now.
We're, yeah, well, Scott Coker was talking about, like, there would be a space for that. Yeah. And Ken Shamrock was iterating that there would be a space for that. There is, it doesn't exist currently. Right. But if you want to, because it feels to me, Andy, that that's what Spike and Bellator are doing. They're gathering Lieben, and they're gathering Ken Shamrock and Hoist Gracie, and they're gathering up
Rampage again.
Right, they're putting all those guys in where I think all those guys probably will lie to themselves in the mirror and say that they're still competitive and they should be fighting for belts. But I think that belt should be an open weight Pride-esque championship where you can just float it around amongst all these guys that are probably in and around 180 to 205. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's there aren't going to be
J. Penn in there.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens to him. Yeah. You know, I don't really want to talk about what he's accused of because he hasn't been charged with anything. But we'll talk a little bit that his return to the UFC has been stalled a little bit. And yeah, he might end up in Bellator, depending on what happens with this thing. But yeah, I just think you got to be careful with how you book these cards, because I think putting these two fights back to back gives a rub to Hoist and Ken that it wouldn't get if it was a legit title fight at the top of this card.
Well, you know, ask yourself what Bellator, like, means to you. You know, like, what is that? What does it do for Andy and I? If we're hanging out on a Friday night, it's background noise. It's something that we have on so that we can see who's fighting, who's up and coming, watching kind of the freak shows and that kind of thing. So if they're going to be drawing and they want people to watch, I mean, it is a strategy for it. And, you know, if they want to become more than background noise, legitimizing their champions, I think, is something that they should be focusing on, as opposed to putting their main and co-main event as these freak shows. Throw them in there. Sure, let's have some fun. Let's keep some pride. Yep. Pride fun going on in there, but they should really be trying to legitimize their champions and putting those as headliners and not in co-headliners when it was like Shamrock versus Kimbo.
Right. And, you know, and building a better brand, which is what they're not doing very well right now.
Yeah, it's definitely for us right now, it is the entertainment value, I would say, my Bellator watching. If this fight didn't have those two fights on the top of it, I probably wouldn't be as tuned in as I'm going to be, because I just can't help it. I care to watch that because I want to see what happens. And
would you have paid for it?
No. I have a pretty hefty cable bill, though, so I'm considering that I'm paying for it right now.
Fair enough. The other fights this weekend is going to be Sunday night on FS1. You get Cowboy versus Cowboy. It was supposed to be Cowboy Cerrone jumping up to 170 to take on Tim Means, who got popped for some sort of performance-enhancing whatever he was taking at this point. So he is out, and you get Cowboy Oliveira, Alex Oliveira, in on short notice to take on Cowboy Cerrone, which I honestly think is a better fight for Cowboy and a better look for Cowboy. That's not to say that Oliveira is not dangerous, but I think Tim Means would have been a much tougher fight, even without the drugs that he was taking, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as well. I'm excited to watch how Cowboy comes back. He's always been one of my favorite fighters since my time starting watching MMA. And
does he need to win, though?
I don't think he has to win. If he loses this one.
No, for your fandom, like, like him flat out? Like, does he, you know, you don't care what happens?
Well, I like when he wins. I mean, I loved his big streak that he went on to get that title shot, and it's fun to watch him. I think he's entertaining, and it was one of those where I watched these guys fight, and I felt bad when he lost. Like, I'm fighting for I want to win a championship for my grandma, and like,
right,
I felt like more of a connection, I think, because I've watched him fight for a long time, and there's only a few fighters in the UFC where I actually really care in the end if they win or lose, and he's always been one that I really want him to win. And so, you know, hopefully he gets a win here and maybe you can start to build something in the 170-pound class.
It's a tough division, though, man. It's a really tough division. This will be interesting to see what he looks like. And the rest of the card, you've got Brunson and Camaro, Gabart and Mendez, Bermudez and Kawajiri, which is a great fight. Chris Camozzi and Joe Riggs are on that card. Being on a Sunday night, when you guys talk about background noise, this is a little bit of background noise, but there's not a lot of sports going on right now. So if you're looking for something, this is a chance to check something out on Sunday night. However, it's also going up against The Walking Dead, which is never a wise idea. So we'll see how it does.
Do you know why this is on a Sunday night? I remember, like, sometimes I do a Sunday night if it's like some sort of holiday on Monday and people have the day off potentially, I don't really know the reasoning on this one.
I don't have any reason why they're.
Yeah, because yeah. I don't think this Saturday night, is there's anything that I can think of that was like would have made them not put it on Saturday night.
And fortunately for us on the East Coast, this is a 9 p.m. start, and that's always
they
nice.
Should all be 9 p.m.
starts. Well, yeah, I completely agree, and I, you know, being the East Coast talk, like, that's super helpful for us because we're not staying up till, you know, we're starry-eyed in the morning. But the 9 p.m. start is going to be helpful because they'll go on at, like, what, 11:30 as opposed to 1:30?
Right. Right. Yes. It's in Pittsburgh, so, I have no idea why it's on Sunday night, yeah. So whatever. Right. A couple other things happened this week that we want to get to. We already talked about Tim Means was popped for performance-enhancing drugs. Gleison Tibau, he was also popped in the UFC anti-doping policy. They are currently, as I said, we're not going to get into the why. You can do your own Googling to figure out the why, because he has not been charged with anything yet. BJ Penn's return to the UFC has been put on hold because of these allegations that are against him right now. And until he's charged, I'm going to stick with the MMA fighting policy here, and we're not going to talk about what it is because he hasn't been charged with anything. Once he's charged with something, we'll jump full on that thing. But he is nothing has happened to him other than there's a statement from the UFC saying, look, we're going to let this thing play itself out and figure out what's what, not too dissimilar with what they did with Rumble Johnson. And then once that all gets figured out, we'll go from there. But right now he is on hold. The other, I think, way more exciting news and far more interesting news is that we are now starting to hear rumors of if your boy Conor McGregor wins on March 5th, that UFC 200 match, you're starting to hear the rumors on Twitter that might be GSP and Conor McGregor.
You actually just broke that news for me.
Sweet. And Kevin Lee with Efrain Escudero, that's a killer fight. Kevin Lee, Efrain Escudero added to 197, so that's amazing. Good news for Kevin Lee. But yeah, now you got me totally thrown off.
Sorry.
Connor's manager said, hey, look, if he wins versus RDA, he's going to do this thing apparently where he doesn't defend anything. He's just going to go up. So he's going to go straight to 170. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I find GSP Conor McGregor almost more interesting than Robbie Lawler.
I think that would be
right.
So amazing. It would bring, it'd bring back all the GSP fans, like our wives, like we've talked about before, who would love to see him fight again. And I think that would be my favorite fight that I would want to watch right now if you let me pick.
Who would you pick?
I think GSP would destroy him.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Even with the layoff?
Yeah.
Even if he trounces RDA in 12 seconds?
Yes. That's I think that he would. He is so, you know, GSP has said that he's been out because he has he's like OCD when he's getting ready to fight. And I just think he would be so have his game plan down so much that he would smother McGregor.
McGregor has every capability of getting to a 170 with his body, like with his frame, but I think you're talking about a huge jump in weight, and I'm talking mass, not just like weight cuts, but just mass of a person. He has the ability to carry a 170 frame, but he definitely would be fighting up. GSP is bigger than that. And I know that GSP was never known as the biggest 170 pounder, but he definitely would be a bigger framed guy and more mass on him than Conor McGregor would.
Which one would you rather see, the Lawler fight or the GSP fight?
I want to watch him fight GSP. Partially because I want to see GSP fight. I want to see something that would matter to me. That I mean, there's no title and belt implications there. But
Are implications there. I think, I mean, if GSP beats Conor McGregor, you don't think that's an... I mean, he should get an instant title shot anyway because he never lost it. But there's implications either way. I mean, man, you beat GSP.
Well, and I mean, just from a marketing standpoint, it's like, shoot, if you want to have a non-title fight, headline a pay-per-view and have it do well.
Well, it's 200, so I don't know that you need to do that, right?
Yeah,
like, they're going to put titles on there.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I don't know that they've booked anything yet because everybody's kind of got dance partners right now. And maybe they're just kind of waiting it out. I know McGregor's talking about he wants to fight Robbie Lawler, but I think that's probably because... this GSP thing is pie in the sky, but I think everyone would rather watch that. Because, like I said, we've got Kevin Lee and Efrain Escudero just added to UFC 197, which means you've got Cormier Jones 2 as the headliner, Mighty Mouse and Cejudo as the co-main. You also get this amazing fight on that card. You get Anthony Pettis and Edson Barboza, which were named, which, you know I said last time that Pettis needed to win. If he gets smoked by Barboza, which I think is a thing, I don't know what you do with that guy if he loses this fight to Barboza.
I mean, that's just going to be like a trick shot game. I don't know if they're even going to throw a straight punch or a 1-2 in the whole time. Like, I mean, that's just going to be like, that's just fireworks waiting to happen unless someone actually tries to implement some sort of game plan and tries to smother the other person a little bit. But I just don't see that happening. Like, that to me is becoming one of the like most favorite fights in the near future.
Yeah, that the striking in that one will make that really fun because we've watched Pettis get smothered a few times. And last time I watched him fight, I said, and I really hope they put him against a similar type striker. And I mean, I don't think they could have picked a better matchup for what I said out loud that day.
Yeah, I just Barboza, just one of those guys that when he's on fire, I think he's a lot to handle. If I'm picking right now, I think Barboza's going to have this one pretty easily. I think Pettis, he was one of those guys. I mean, you see that all the time in the sport. He was one of those guys who had a whole bright future ahead of him, and he was running through people until he wasn't, and now he's just not. And it, you know, it's not too dissimilar from, you know, any of these other guys. I think Mighty Mouse yesterday tweeted out a photo, which was my favorite thing ever, when he was at the gym. He goes, you know, how do I stay motivated? And he literally took a poster from 2014 that had all the champs on it and X'd out everybody who was no longer the champ, which was everybody except for him. And he said, because I don't want to have an X on my face, right? Which was like the best thing he did all day yesterday. You know, when you've got guys like that fighting in the UFC, it makes them more and more special the more they're able to hold off opponents. And the fact that when it got tough, Pettis just couldn't do it. I mean, the fact that Pettis got handled by RDA, could you imagine? Now, he says he's healthy, but let's get him back in the octagon and see what's going to happen with him and Ferguson. What would have happened if it had been Nurmagomedov, right? He would have pile drove Pettis through the bottom of the octagon.
Well, it's interesting to not to just bag on like the whole USADA thing, but you know, looking at someone like Pettis and Johnny Hendricks, and you know, there's a lot happening right now with people jumping weight classes. Like, look at Cowboy Cerrone going up in a weight class. Look at people, a lot of people going up because of not even like performance enhancers, but just the like IV ban. And it's interesting to see like what's happening right now because our second generation of like big stars from the UFC are starting to go. We had the Tito Ortiz kind of, you know, they're going away. Well, then like people that I still think are up and comers like Pettis. And now you're starting to talk about him on like the tail end of his career. Same with Johnny Hendricks. And
yes, I am with an asterisk, right? Like, I just think that when you look at guys like Sage Northcutt coming into the organization and Mickey Gall, and I know that they're super early, so stop sending me hate email right now. I'm not saying that they're championship material, but let's fast forward 3 years and assume both of them are still in the organization. They are going to look drastically different than Johnny Hendricks and Anthony Pettis in 36 months. So what I'm saying is I think that the UFC specifically, with the USADA stuff, is certainly speeding that up. But with the USADA stuff and the speed in which the sport is evolving, is leaving a lot of these guys behind. So it's not that Anthony Pettis is done, but Anthony Pettis may need to go chase Benson Henderson down to Bellator, because you likely, if you lose this fight, I don't know what else is next for you, because it doesn't get any easier. You couldn't beat Alvarez, right? Alvarez out-wrestled you for an entire fight. Couldn't beat him. He smothered all your special super moves. And I think Barboza's got better moves if that's the game that you want to play. And if you get beat in your own game and not in your own game with two guys who I don't think are title contenders at all, I don't know what you do with him. I don't know what because Ferguson would eat him alive. Kevin Lee would likely eat him alive at this point. And so if Kevin Lee's coming up and can eat you alive, and Ferguson is above you and is going to murder you, and if you had to fight anybody above Ferguson, they're also going to murder you. It's not that I think he needs to retire, but I think the UFC at 155, 170, for sure, it's no joke. You know, it is no joke at all. And that's why I'm not as hard on a guy like Sage Northcutt for having to go up in his third fight to go fight in a weight class that I would rather chop my own arm off than have to fight anybody in that division. I give him mad respect for doing it, because I think that is a brutally tough division. And the other one that's right behind it is 155. And as much as I think Conor McGregor could probably beat RDA at distance, there's probably a good reason why he doesn't want to stay at these weight classes, because there's lots of sharks in the pool. And you go up to 170, you fight Robbie Lawler, get him on a good night, and you've got that belt too. Well, now you're in the driver's seat to pick which one of the psychopaths from 145 to 170 that you want to fight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those guys are all scary fighters. I would rather fight heavyweight fight against Jared Rosholt than I would rather fight
absolutely
any of those 155 or 170 guys you're mentioning.
And that's the interesting thing. You're seeing that evolution at heavyweight. And in 36 months, that'll be a different division when all these guys who are 40 are going to phase out. The entire division, the median age has got to be – I haven't done it. I'll promise I'll do it by next week. I bet the median age is 37 years old.
Yeah, and then they're all just going to migrate to that Legends division we made up for them earlier.
Totally. I mean, and you might even see Kane be the first one to go, because it'll be easier competition and easier on his back.
Yeah.
You know, because if he comes in and he can't hang with Verdum because he's injured, that might be where he ends up. But I don't know what you do with him if he loses to Barboza. I just don't. And so it's not like I'm saying he needs to retire. I don't think Hendricks needs to retire. But I think you're in two divisions where if you're not evolving, and I mean evolving past the point where your only game plan is if they play your game is the only way to win, you're going to lose in the UFC.
Just paraphrasing Dana White, when Benson left, he said, you know, we're looking for the next, like, top opponent. We're looking for people going up. You know, the crawl up the UFC ladder is slow, like, mm-hmm. to get to the top, unless you're like a Conor McGregor. The way down, it's like chutes and ladders. Like, you're going down fast.
Sure.
It's not happening.
Well,
easy.
And you look at Sterling, right? He was a free agent for a half a minute, and he looked around and went, nah, I'm in a good place. I'm winning some badass fights. I could be a contender in 12 to 18 months. I'm going to sign with the UFC. You know, Overeem signed with the UFC. He had a chance to go to Bellator, you know, to go kind of back where it would be easier for him, way easier for him. But these guys, I think, know that when it's time to be tested and continue to be tested, the UFC is where you get tested. And I think this is a big test for Pettis. And if he doesn't pass this test, you got to have a hard conversation with you and your camp about what you're doing next, because there isn't, and this is not to say that either of these guys are easy. There isn't anybody easier right now than Alvarez and Barboza, because they're both really streaky.
Right. Well, and the thing is, every time Pettis loses or every time Johnny Hendricks loses, I'm honestly surprised, because, like, to me, like, Pettis wins, you know, and now we're looking at him already going, what do you do with him? You know, like, where does he go? Who does he fight next? We're talking about him as if he's a guy that can't win now, because it has no testament to him. It's how terrible, like, every other person is. I mean, terrible, how, like, great they are, like, how much of a they're all demons, like, you don't want to fight any of them. And then all of a sudden you're looking at Pettis being like, can he stand with any of them? And it's completely opposite of how I felt about Pettis when he still had that belt around his waist.
I mean, he's lost two in a row. This would be his third in a row since, you know, he lost to RDA, loses to Alvarez, and then he would lose to Barboza.
And I think with the injuries in there, with the layoffs, it seems like we haven't seen him winning for a long time. That's,
I mean, his last win was 2014 against Melendez.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the difference, say, with Cerrone coming up here. I mean, Cerrone lost a title fight. He's going to be back in. If he wins this, everyone's going to forget that he even fought that fight because he fights so often that you're like, meh, he lost that one, and now he's back again winning.
But I think that's why you guys like him, because he's busy. It's no different than Magny, right? Magny got annihilated by Damian Maia, but we were just as excited to see him get back in it because he fights 12 times a year. Because he just wants to be busy and pay the bills.
And that becomes actually part of his storyline, is how often he fights.
Sure.
So he drops one, and you're like, well, you know, it wasn't my day. It's like he dropped a day of sparring because it happens.
He drops
so often.
One, you get eight more this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then someone like Cerrone, he's like, he doesn't want to pull out of fights. He rolls his truck, totally annihilates his truck, and walks away and was like, oh, I'm not backing out of the fight. Like, I'm fine.
It's like, I'm not Tim Means. I mean, sorry. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. I'll still be there. Yeah. And that, I think that's why people like those guys. But I just, at 197, I think is a huge fight. It's a bigger fight. Let me say this. It's a bigger fight for Pettis than it is for Cormier. That'll be my hot take for the day. It's a bigger fight for Pettis than it is for Cormier. Because I don't think anybody on earth thinks that Jon Jones can be beat.
Well, you know my opinion.
I know your opinion, but I don't disagree with you. If he can pull his head out of his ass and stay on the straight and narrow, there isn't a human being in that organization that can beat him right now. I'm not seeing a single fighter. And if he beats Cormier, his next move is to go move the median age of the heavyweight division down 10 years.
I'm glad that you brought that up again, because someone did the math for us last week. Average age of the top 15 in the heavyweight is 36 years old.
Boom! I don't even need to do research on this show.
The only person who is in their 20s out of the top 15, can you guess?
If it's Jared Rosher,
it is.
Oh, God.
So the comment here on, it was on a forum, is it going to be a bunch of slow and fat 40 and 50-year-olds slamming overhand rights at each other until one of them gets KO'd? That was his question on saying that the average age is 36 right now.
Well, and I think, you know, I think if he beats Cormier, I think that's his next move. Because if you see all the amazing stuff he's doing in the heavy weightlifting world, I mean, I would be scared to death if I was a heavyweight right now. Like, that on April 24th, when this fight is over, if he has his belt back, I would be scared to death. Because if you think you think fighting Verdum is tough, fight Verdum 10 years ago. If Verdum was if Verdum was an NFL football player that decided to punch things.
Right. Well, yeah, and it's like, it's a perfect end, actually, for Jon Jones to move up, because he's cleared out the division. I mean, he's had his time off and everything, but there's not a bunch of new up-and-comers that he needs to prove himself against. So he moves up, the competition becomes easier for him because he's faster and he's not smaller than them. He just cuts weight. I mean, that's just
well,
what's happening.
Let me ask you this question, and then we'll get out of here, because I know we've got kind of a tight week, but just wanted to make sure that we got a podcast out. Nick, does he have to fight Rumble before he does this, or can he bounce after Cormier?
No, I think that if I were him, I would fight Cormier, avoid Rumble, and go right into the heavyweight.
But as a fan, do you need to see that fight, or would you rather see him at heavyweight?
I'd want to see the Rumble fight. Actually, as a fan, I'd like to see it. I wouldn't even think twice if he said, well, this, you know, whole cutting thing, I'm getting older now, I had time off, and it's too hard, I'm going to move up to heavyweight. And I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't be mad that I didn't get to see that fight, but I definitely would like to.
Andy?
Yeah, I think I would like to see it as well, but I mean, maybe Rumble could follow him up to heavyweight.
Rumble certainly could.
Yeah.
Let's not forget he tried to start his career at 170,
yeah,
by the way.
So
BT-dub.
I think that that would be entertaining, one last fight there. But I think it's kind of the high note of going out, okay, I was off, I lost my belt by getting it taken away. I came back, I won it, and now I'm off to heavyweight. And, you know, watch him fight someone like Stipe or someone in the future would be pretty entertaining to me.
I mean, he'd get an instant title shot, though, right? He doesn't have to grind his way up to the...
Well, yeah, I guess maybe I'm assuming that Stipe might be the champion by that time.
Well, we need to get a fight in for it. We can't seem to get any of the heavyweights into the octagon recently with a belt, so let's see if we can do that first. All right, as always, you can follow along this weekend at Wow Show. I'm going to leave the Dada 5000 tweets to the Bailing brothers because they're way more into it than I am, and then I'll take over the Cowboy versus Cowboy over the weekend. So follow us at Wow Show on Twitter and Facebook. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you next week. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.